Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
What a weekend of sports. What a weekend of football. We sometimes on Mondays talk to Sam Panionovich. We will do that right now. Hi, Sam.
Hi, John.
From WGN Radio Sports, I get to work with Sam and Doma Tipongo in the newsroom on Saturdays and enjoy their conversation there. You told us over the weekend when I asked you on Saturday, I said, 4 playoff games, give me a game to watch each day. You said you'd be better off watching both games on Sunday.
Right.
As it turns out, Saturday wasn't terrible, but those were two of the best NFL games you're going to see in a long time on Sunday.
45-42, Jacksonville over the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then the late game. Good Lord.
45-42, almost 100 points.
Well, and the night game was even better than that game with the finish. I mean, you
with
could not script that finish, a 61-yard Hail Mary touchdown to give the Vikings, a team that has been really, you know, stripped of a lot of possibilities in the last 20 years or so. And you used to do shows up there. Minnesota, they act like they're cursed up there.
They totally do. They are to the NFL what the Cubs thought they were to baseball. Every year it'd be a missed field goal or some crazy play, and you go, oh no. The Vikings have never won a Super Bowl.
Nope.
Have they even played in a Super Bowl?
I believe they've been to one. I'm not exactly sure when it was.
But
I know in 98 they got really close. Gary Anderson missed a field goal against the Falcons to win the NFC Championship. So it was good to see that happen. And how about Las Vegas, too? They said the spread for the Vikings and Saints was 5.
And the margin was?
5.
So you had money on that game.
We had the Saints plus 5. We pushed. But we also had Jacksonville plus 7. They won the game, and then we had the over and the Patriots and the Titans, and that one came through. So it was a nice weekend. But the interesting thing about that, the point spread landed at 5.5 when the game ended. When they scored the touchdown, Minnesota, they made it 29-24. And the game's over because the clock is at 0-0.
It says 0-0, and there's mathematically, crazily, it's impossible for the outcome of the game to change.
But
so they come out and try the extra point. Why do they do that?
Because if it's in regulation, it's a rule. You have to complete the play, and you have to kick the extra point. So the spread landed, the final spread was 5.5. And it's a 5-point game, and you're wondering, oh, my God. Are they going to kick the extra point? Are they going to run it in for 2?
If they kicked the extra point, what would have happened to all of the people with money on the game?
Well, the Vikings would have covered the 5.5.
And then what would have happened? Then the fans that took the Vikings would have won?
I was told by
money?
Bookmakers in Vegas that kneel down, was a $1 billion swing.
Seriously?
$1 billion.
Okay, so I've heard, Jimmy Greenfield, for instance, over the weekend tweeted that the reason that they do that ridiculous extra point or take a knee, the reason the NFL continues to play out games after the clock is 0-0 is for that reason, for the gambling. Is that true?
I don't know if that's completely true, but if you score a touchdown in regulation, by rule, you have to kick the extra point.
And this was in regulation. Yeah.
Aren't there playoff implications by the point differential and things like that?
Oh, that's
interesting. None of that's affected.
Not in the playoffs, Sam, but I mean why there would be a rule in the regular season, why you have to kick that field.
Technically, yes, for tiebreaker purposes. But it's interesting, Steve, because in overtime, if that play was in overtime, the game's over. There's no extra point. But because it was regulation, they had to come out and attempt a conversion, whether it was extra point. They ended up going for 2, but they took a knee.
Right. They didn't go for anything. They just sat there.
I was watching these videos, though, of Vegas sportsbooks, because all these people are hinging. What are they going to do? Because some people have plus 5.5, some have minus 5.5, and nobody knows what they're going to do.
So nobody made any money on that game. Everybody took their money back.
It pretty much landed on 5.
But if they kick the extra point,
the Vikings win by 6 and cover the 5.5.
And suddenly $1 billion goes from somebody to somebody else.
Because all the big money was on Minnesota.
Wow.
So the books were pretty happy that the Saints covered that 5.5.
And that's the problem. And so, don't you think that some people think, well, then the NFL is too much in cahoots with the bookies?
This has been theoried for a long time.
I'm not the first one to wonder.
Not a million, a billion. That kneel down saved $1 billion.
Wow.
In the desert.
Wow.
Can you imagine somebody on the radio in Vegas, hey, make sure he takes a knee. Make sure he knees it.
Did you see the picture going around? Ryan sent it to you, John. They've imposed Prince, the spirit of Prince, on the football field, helping the reception.
I don't know what you're telling me. No.
All right. So, you know, the guy for the Saints who tried to tackle the Vikings receiver.
Yeah.
Just whiffed, right?
Sure.
So there's this picture going around where they've superimposed prints sort of blocking the tackle in order to protect the Vikings receiver. It's hilarious.
Prince, the late and great rock and roll star.
The Minnesota Prince.
Is a force in Minnesota that I did not appreciate until he died. And then I realized how near and dear he is to the people up there.
I'm wondering, Super Bowl show, right? You know Justin Timberlake has to cover a Prince song.
Yeah, that would be good.
At some point he has to. And I'll tell you what, Paul Allen, I know I sent you the radio call, the Vikings radio call.
Yeah.
At the end of his final call, he forecasted ahead. He said, it's going to be 49 and drizzly in Philly, and we're bringing the purple rain.
Here's the call. This is the radio play-by-play of Stephon Diggs making the most improbable touchdown you'll ever see in an NFL game. Hit it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs.
Stay up.
Oh,
he
got loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
10.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
No way.
Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings have walked up on the New Orleans Saints. It's a 61-yard miracle.
It went on like that for about an hour. They just completely lost. They're in a hospital now. They're all in a hospital.
That's what you live for, though, as a play-by-play man. I do play-by-play. That's what you live for. The game-winning play to go to a championship game. That's what it's all about. And you cannot create that. In other words, you can't tell me you can't ask me what I would say if that were to happen. I just don't know. You just don't know until it happens.
Yeah. And then you hope that in retrospect, you got it right. That sounded about right.
He nailed it. The Minneapolis miracle.
Right, because I'll bet he didn't think I need to have a phrase ready in case we win this game, because nobody thought they were going to win. In fact, as elated as Minnesota is, can you imagine how crushing that was to New Orleans?
Yeah, and this Drew Brees, a free agent too. Sean Payton, who knows if he's going to go back.
Well, tell us what happened on that play, because all you got to do, what, there's 24 seconds left? Or no, that was
no,
when they got
not
the
even.
Ball.
This was the final play, no matter what. If he caught the ball and went out of bounds, maybe there would have been a second left.
For
this
a field
was
goal.
The Hail Mary. Yeah.
I thought he should have stepped out of bounds. But instead, and so all the defenders had to do, and you could see they lined almost the sideline so that even if the guy catches it, we'll keep him in bounds.
Push him toward the middle.
So then what happened on that play?
That defensive back, Marcus Williams, I feel bad for him. I don't know what he was trying to do. It looked like he went for the pick, and once he realized that Diggs was going to catch it, he sort of moved out of the way to avoid a flag.
Dropped his head and went underneath because he didn't want interference.
He didn't want to get a PI call. He didn't want pass interference. But when he did that, there was no safety over the top. There was nobody.
He was the last defender.
That was it.
The thing, and it was unfortunate too, is there was two receivers and a couple of defenders there in trying to now miss getting penalized. He also clobbered his teammate, so both of them go down. Diggs lands and goes, where is everybody?
Well, and Diggs caught it and sort of pirouetted right toward the sideline.
Yeah.
And had the awareness and the body control to stop right before he tiptoed on the sideline, and as he ran in, there was nobody around. You can't make that up, John.
I was watching it with my son and daughter-in-law, and it dawned on me, like, instantly, all of a sudden, my son is on the ground in front of the TV. He like ran to the TV set screen and then fell and collapsed in front of it. He could not believe what he was seeing. And you know how they sometimes have videos of fans reacting to what they're seeing on the TV?
A Saints fan threw a flat screen out the window of his high rise.
Oh, that's
tossed
hilarious.
It out the window.
I haven't seen the Minnesota fans, but people must have just lost their minds.
Oh,
it was a whole Twitter moments thing with the Minnesota.
I haven't
fans
seen
reacting,
that, yeah. But it must just be hilarious.
That was the best game of the weekend. It went back and forth too. The Vikings kicked that field goal. Then the Saints came down and kicked the field goal, and it was fourth down. Vikings had to just chuck one up and go figure. It's caught,
and that never happens, and that never works.
Only in sports. Only in sports, though.
This is why baseball is our pastime, but football, despite all of the controversy around it these days, is America's passion. It's just hard to sort of replicate that sort of excitement, that sort of fun.
Are you rooting for anybody now going forward?
Well, I'd love to see...
It's hard not to root for Minnesota.
Right, and I'm not real interested in seeing Tom Brady play another Super Bowl game, although if it was the Vikings and the Patriots, That would be fun. You know, the Cinderella story is Minnesota, which has been to four Super Bowls, Elif tells me.
Four!
But they have never won one.
Right, they've never won.
I think I heard this, too, that of the four remaining teams, three of them have never won a Super Bowl. So, you know, that makes it an interesting storyline. You're guaranteed that it'll be somebody who... Well, it's possible that... You're guaranteed that somebody who's never won a Super Bowl will be in the Super Bowl. And it's quite possible they'll be going against the perennial favorite. So that would be a fun matchup.
I hope it's not them. It's boring. It's like Alabama in college football.
No.
You know it's going to happen before the season starts, and you just put all your eggs in one basket and think it's not going to happen, and then at the end of the day, poof.
One other sports story I want you to comment on before I throw you out, Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports. You and I follow, you follow sports for a living. I follow it as a fan from afar. But I've been very interested in how this Zach LaVine was going to do when he came to the Bulls.
Right.
So you and I were trading text messages the night of his debut Saturday night. You had Saturday told us that the line on how many points he was going to score in the game was 9.5?
I just made it 9.5.
You made it 9.5. But then you said, will you take the over or under? I said under. I think it takes a while to get your stroke. You're going to be very cautious. He's not going to get 10 points. I took the under. You said he was going to score about 11.
Scored 14.
And he scored 14. You are so good at this.
He made his first shot. He looked smooth, man.
Oh, my God. His first shot was a serious three. Nothing but net. His next shot was almost a three. Nothing but net.
He looked good. I think he only missed two shots.
He really looked good. There was one instance, too, where they had him loaded up for a dunk. You know, it was sort of like two on one, lob it up. He was going to jump through the roof and throw it down. The timing was off, and so they didn't connect. But it was a very exciting possibility, I'll say that.
They may not have the best team in the world. There's no doubt about that. But these kids are out there. They're playing hard. They try. They love each other as teammates.
And Chris Dunn looked good in that game. Lauri Markkanen looked good in that game, hitting threes. And Zach LaVine, wow, that was quite a return to basketball.
I am not one to give credit to this Bulls front office. That trade right now,
all of a sudden,
looks really good. I wouldn't do it backwards. I wouldn't do it again.
You wouldn't take Jimmy Butler back?
Not for these three.
I wouldn't either. And I'm telling you, that was one game. Now, give Zach LaVine 10 bad games. I mean, he could not have a great season, but that was a very positive beginning. Who knows what's going to happen, but he sure looked ready. A little winded. I don't know that he's got 40 minutes in
his
legs. The quote
he said, tired as hell. He was tired as hell.
So that was fun. Now if we could just get the Blackhawks to play with that kind of energy.
Well, we don't have enough time for that.
Oh, my God. I was worried that our announcer, that Weidemann and the rest of them after the game, Troy and them, were going to get in trouble for saying how badly we played.
Well, Q said it, too.
The Blackhawks needed... This was a game we needed to step up, and oh my God, did we mail it in.
Finally, Q said after the game, the last thing he said before the coaching conference ended, our sport is about competing. If you don't compete, you don't have a chance. And today, we had no chance.
No. Okay, Sam Panionovich, nice to see you, my friend. Thanks
you
for coming in and saying hi. I'll talk to you on Saturday.
Yes, you will.
Not sooner. And you can always listen to the podcast from this guy. It's called Chicken Dinner. Do you just Google that or go
it's
to
on iTunes?
iTunes.
Yeah.
Chicken Dinner. And it's not going to be recipes from a chef. It's going to be your podcast about sports.
Chicken Dinner.
Chicken Dinner. It's 2:20. Hey, speaking of WGN Radio, we're about to play another exciting edition of the non sequitur of the day. You want to win a great prize like a home weather kit? We've got one for you, but you have to correctly tell us who was saying what and why they were saying it. It's called non sequitur of the day, and that's coming up next.